For scientists who spend their days working in research labs, one of the most daunting tasks just might be explaining what they do to the public, and doing so in a way that people can understand. Sandra Singh Lo is the host of the NPR podcast, The Lowdown on Science. She also teaches drama and science communication at UC Irvine. She's visiting the University of Illinois Urbana campus this week to teach researchers here how to explain what they do to the public, and she joins me now in studio. Sandra, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
So why is it so important for the public to understand what's going on behind closed doors at research labs?
Well, I mean, I think there's a new generation of science grad students and postdocs. I want to just backtrack for a moment. Back in the day, I'm that old that I went to Caltech between 79 and 83, and I had a father who came from Shanghai who was also an academician. So back in the day, there was a bit of a culture in that scientists don't have to really communicate. They just need to be smart. They need to be really accurate. And if people don't understand them, it is because they're really smart. And even scientific lectures and scientific talks, even to this day, can have those titles that are, you know, 2 billion nanoparticles scattering with a tap of blah, blah, blah. It's always the name of a technique or a methodology, often with words that many lay people cannot understand. And that's sort of the culture within academia, to use language that sometimes can be increasingly specific to the particular field. So you get to a point where a bioengineer cannot understand what a physicist is talking about, or an analytical chemist as opposed to a biomedical engineer. The genres are increasingly specific, and the language is too, and that's part of science culture. But obviously, we live in a time, without belaboring the time we're in, where the public can have a mistrust of science, and especially in some politically loaded topics, that I think it just calls more on scientists to explain what they do in a way that's really wonderful and engaging and curious, because at the end of the day, everyone is curious, no matter which political party they're from. As I always say, any regular Americans, they love their pets, they love Teslas, they love the weather. They're actually very curious and intrigued to be told these stories of what scientists do.
And what makes it so hard? Is it because when researchers are so close to their work, they can have a hard time explaining it to someone who's never heard about what they do? Is that the primary challenge?
Yeah, I think it's partly the culture of science, of using these words that relate to other words that are in their field. And I think the good thing about in this age of truthiness is, unlike people who might successfully tweet in 170 characters, they don't overpromise what they want. They don't say, this is the most beautiful, or this is the most amazing, or it'll be a miracle. And, you know, they're not necessarily great storytellers. Scientists invert the information as it should be given. They start with the name of my lab, it's this and that. We use a technology of a spectroscopy, and there's so many kinds of spectroscopy, you know, tomographic spectroscopy, blah, 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 blah. And then about 45 seconds in, they go, and it's, why do we use this? To maybe study. And then 55 seconds, cancer. What? Okay, it's like open with cancer. It's kind of like in this day and age, it's kind of like everyone's computer. Like, we don't know what the spectroscopy is, but open with cancer. And so just tell the information in a reverse order that you think you should.
You're the perfect guest for this because you've been hosting a podcast. As I mentioned, you're the host of the NPR podcast, The Lowdown on Science. In some of your most recent episodes, you tackled topics including teenagers and smartphones and the viruses that infect bats and whether cats can experience the placebo effect. How do you choose the topics you cover every day?
Well, it's been a journey over 14 years. It was started by Caltech and Southern California Public Radio. We kind of look for stories that are engaging, that people can relate to on a real human world level, but have some interesting science going on. So we can always do kind of prairie dogs, puppies, behavior, teens. I think quantum computing is still a hard place for
trickier.
Us to go. Yeah, trickier. Some of those more abstract places are trickier to go. But we try to do a combination of things that have a real world connection and that have some real science to it. So.
Yeah. And what's the hardest part of cramming an entire research study or field into 90 seconds of airtime?
Well, it's interesting because often when you look at a scientific paper, it can be written, there are about four different lowdowns you can get out of it. So to find one thread to go through that one can follow and that is relatable, I think it's trying to figure out which thread to follow that can pop in 90 seconds, because really not not all things
can't
hip.
Fit everything.
No.
In. Yeah.
No.
So I want to ask you one more question unrelated to what we've been talking about. You've written 6 books, and your most recent memoir is about menopause. It's called The Mad Woman in the Volvo. It was named by the New York Times as one of 2015's most notable books. And there's a pretty hilarious interview you did with Bill Mayer. People can find a link to it on your website. But I wanted to ask in seriousness, do you think there needs to be more open dialogue about menopause and other women's health issues, that these are things as a society that we need to be less squeamish about?
Yes. I mean, it was an interesting journey, and that you mentioned that Real Time with HBO, Real Time with Bill Maher on HBO, who was a man interviewing me. I think when I think there was something for women talking about it personally, because we're still coming from a place where we're still making, I think it's 80 cents on the dollar, so it's improved from 67% cents on the dollar, of sort of wanting to match men in terms of, like, I don't want to say I have moods. I don't want to say I have better and worse days, or that anything is physically different with me. I don't want anyone to say it's hormones. But hormones are a big part of who we are chemically, and they're important, and they drive our energy and drive and hunger and all of it. So to talk about more of relating the physical and the emotional is a good thing to do, but it also can feel for women a little bit tricky, because I don't want to be known as having, have that day of the bunch. Or in case somebody in the workplace says, well, you know, dismiss her because, you know, she's going to be going up and down. That said, there might be a way to just open the conversation, given that, you know, in the last few years, you know, I was such a fan of Robin Williams, and then to go, oh my gosh, he was so, you know, sad he took his life, and I was a big fan of Spalding Gray also, and there are others. Is that maybe to open the dialogue and say, you know what, men actually have a range of hormonal responses that they have. They have moods. They can talk about it. Maybe we can all talk about these things on sort of a more even plane and not just assign it to women to do what the women. But I think it's a very positive time. It's a very electric time for women, of putting everything out there and on the table and broadening the conversation about everything that we do. So I'm actually really heartened with all this talk. And just, yes, and, you know, Jane Fonda and, Jane Fonda is like the Gracie and Frankie show is, and they're 75 and beyond. So women are talking about all these kinds of things. And I think it's a good thing that all the dialogue is open right now.
Yeah. Sandra Singh Low is the host of the Ampera podcast, The Lowdown on Science. She'll be giving a talk at the Beckman Institute on Friday, April 20th at noon. That's on the University of Illinois Urbana campus. You can find more information about that on our website, willnews.org. Sandra, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.